Good morning. Right now, 7:39 with Tom and Laura. Lubbock's First News. Congressman Randy Neugebauer is on the line. Good morning and happy MLK Day to you, sir.
Well, thank you. Good morning to both of you. And Dan and I had an opportunity to go to the citywide MLK celebration last night, where we got to hear young man by the name of Benjamin Alexander gave the MLK I Have a Dream speech and did an outstanding job.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was amazing. And then, you know, we had T.J. Patterson's son came and he did the sermon and did a great job. So it was a great celebration and to a great man.
And the young man who did the I Have a Dream speech was, isn't he just an eighth grader?
Yes, and I mean, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
I don't know if somebody YouTubed that or not, but if they did and you have a chance to see him do that, and he didn't use his notes very much as he did that. He had obviously practiced that a lot and, gave it with a lot of passion. Inflection. It was outstanding. It was one of the highlights of the evening.
Good. All right. On the table, we got this $1.1 trillion appropriations bill. Mm-hmm. It's referred to as the omnibus spending. Give us the parameters and the way you see it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the part of how we spend the American taxpayers' money that we actually, you know, get to really vote on. And so this is basically we, instead of doing the individual appropriation bills, which is my preference, basically we took them all together, lumped them all into one bill, and put it on the floor last week. And, I couldn't support that because we don't do our best work when we do things lump sum like that. The appropriation process is designed to divide those bills into smaller chunks so that we can do a better job of perusing how we're spending Americans' taxpayers' money. But you have to understand that this is about a third of the money that we're going to actually spend. The actual amount of government expenditures probably for this year will be in the $3.7, $3.8 trillion. So these are just the programs that Congress basically has much of a say-so on. The rest of those programs are on autopilot.
Wow.
What things do you like and things that you don't like about this bill?
Well, the things I don't like were the fact that we lumped them all together. The other thing is we increased spending, and so we actually, with this bill, increased the deficit. And so we increased discretionary spending over last year. And, what we've been working on is trying to cut spending. And in this bill, we actually increased spending.
Well, the way that I see it, if you take the spending and you do make cuts and the cuts don't outweigh the spending by far, there's no way that you're ever going to put a net gain into play when you look at the overall deficit. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's like everybody looks at it on a case-by-case basis. Well, we made progress. Well, the bottom line is the credit cards are maxed out, and just because we open up a new credit card doesn't mean anything.
Well, and you're right. And Tom, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to the Treasury Secretary is going to come over and ask Congress to increase the credit card again. And so I guess that's one of the frustrations that I have. And I think it's the frustrations that a lot of people across the country have is you can't do that at home. You can't do that in your business where you keep spending more money than you're bringing in and expect a very positive outcome. And so my concern is we're going to have to, you know, cure the spending problem and start, you know, spending money that we actually have.
We'll be back with Congressman Randy Neugebauer in just a moment. Right now it's 7:42. Good morning. All of the federal offices are supposedly closed today.
Mm-hmm.
But under his own volition, Congressman Randy Neugebauer picks up the phone and calls us. And
that's right.
For that, we do appreciate it. Thanks for being with us, man.
Well, I'm glad. Always glad to be on. And this is just another work day for me. We're going to be traveling through the district this week. But it's always great to be on the program every Monday.
All right. We're trying to make a little bit of progress on the farm bill. I just got to ask you, have we figured out how to milk the cow yet, or is there still this floating lactose intolerance?
I think we're about to quit crying over spilt milk. So there is some indication that some compromise has been reached. Mr. Peterson from Minnesota has been kind of one of the people that's been kind of holding things up there because of the milk policy. He said, I think on Friday that they were close and that he was happy. I think the thing to keep your eye on here is when the details come out on this compromise, whether the speaker embraces it or not, because the speaker's been pretty adamant that we weren't going to have a supply management where the government was going to determine how many cows we had out there. So keep your eyes on that. There's a couple of other provisions, particularly in the commodity program, that still need to be worked out. But there's some indication that we could have a teleconference in the next few days to get an update and possibly set a time to put the bill on the floor when we get back.
If you would have told me when I was a kid that a gallon of milk would cost more than a gallon of gasoline,
I know.
I would have asked you what you were smoking.
Well, now a gallon of water almost costs you as much as a gallon of gas. Well, that's part of the problem is kind of some of this antiquated farm program that's still on the books, and we kind of keep amending that. I think at some point in time we need to clean that up because obviously the 49 prices and versus what it costs to produce a gallon of milk in 49 and what it costs today are obviously different. So hopefully we avoid that and get this farm bill done. It's very important because, as you drive around now, you don't see many modules, cotton modules out in the fields. Most of the cotton is in the gin. Money's in the bank, and now farmers and producers around the country are focusing on this year's crop, mm-hmm. and this year's crop doesn't have any farm policy.
Right. Hey, it's 7:49. Good morning. We'll be back with Congressman Nagebauer in just a moment. Good morning. Right now, 7:53. Collins and Mack, welcome back to the program. Congressman Randy Nagebauer, working on MLK Day. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Yes. I'm good. Thank you.
We had been, talking about several different points. You had a couple of things that you want to mention and go over.
Yeah, well, while members of Congress are back in their districts this week, something important is going on in Washington on Wednesday, and that's the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. So we'll have thousands of folks traveling to the, Capitol to bring awareness to the pro-life cause. This year is the 41st anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and the theme that the march is this year is, focusing on adoption, which is the alternative. And so I'm kind of disappointed I'm not going to be there this year, but I know there'll be lots of folks up there. A couple of other things, Tom, that were in the news and some people may or may not seem. Last week, Congressman Issa ordered the Justice Department Inspector General to launch its own investigation into the IRS targeting of conservative groups. And so we're hopeful that, we can continue to bring accountability to the administration on using that information and abusing that information. Then there was a report, a lot of people, listeners have called in about Benghazi, and I think what came out last week was what I already knew from some briefings I had was that the bipartisan Senate report said that the State Department failed to, to increase the security despite, clear warnings that there were problems there. And so, again, another area where this administration has not accepted, its responsibility for, unfortunately, the tragic deaths of some folks at that embassy. So those are some of the things that are going on while we're in Washington, while we're in the district this week.
Okay. In layman's terms, just want to ask you about the president's speech about the NSA and just data collection. Is there any substance to that, or is
he? No, I read the brief you know, I didn't see all the text from the president's speech, but what I did read was basically he just said, well, we need to think about it and study about it. And I've asked some people to do some things, but, you know, I didn't see anything of any substance. You know, I think certainly we want to make sure that we hold government accountable. At the same token, we want to make sure that the government's doing everything we can to keep us safe. I think one of the things that the president said is he wanted to transfer where the metadata is kept, and so he wants to transfer it from the government keeping it to some kind of third-party vendor keeping that. You know, I have concerns about that, about the security of that data. So I think the devil's in the details here. You know, I think this will spark some additional hearings, and, you know, we'll, you know, see if there's some ways to, you know, tighten up the personal information and individuals' liberties and freedoms. But the same token, you know, Tom, I think you have to understand why we're in the intelligence business, and the reason we're in the intelligence business is, you know, to keep our country safe.
I get that. But the way that some of this stuff goes down is not very intelligent. For instance, if you're going to have a third party maintain data or whatever you want to call it about me or Laura, what business is it of theirs, and why do they have a right to our information? I mean, that makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things is you know, we saw with the Target and, you know, I guess Neiman Marcus, and is that even when third parties have your information, it's not necessarily secure. And so I think there's two discussions there. Is there a need to collect that metadata, and is there in a way that and store it without, you know, invading people's individual liberties and privacy? But secondly, you know, if you put it in another place, you know, will it be secure? And so I think those are important questions.
Well, one thing that kind of enters my mind is meta communication is communication about how communication takes place. So this metadata is communication and basically thought and strategy of how you're going to, you know, store and, you know, put these different categories of data in different phyla, you know, so they can be digested at will. I mean, to me, that's on a need-to-know basis, and they don't need to know.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that the president did mention and is that any searches that would be done on that data, you know, would have to have a court order. So that's another step that, you know, that's put in place. Right now, there's already a procedure to do that, but this is another step. So, you know, we'll begin to see how this plays out, and we can probably discuss it more as we kind of see what the devil is in the details.
Okay. Hey, Congressman Neugebauer, thanks for being with us this morning. See you next
week. Thank you for